18, Luke chapter number 18. A little bit of a different message tonight as we're closing up the book of Joshua, putting it on the shelf for a little while until the Lord leads. There's a thought here, as we remember in the book of Joshua, how he introduced it. It's the idea of living in a victorious Christian life, and how the Canaan land represented the victorious Christian life, and how we as Christians, and that the whole story of Joshua from the beginning to the end was, you know, what we as Christians can live victoriously, and we can live in a way and an opportunity that God can bless and God can use. So as I was thinking and looking and praying, and just Lord led me to these verses, and we're not going to stay here very long, but we're going to tell a little bit of a story. And the idea of the message is tonight, you're going to see in verse number 27, it says, "And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." So that's the thought there, is the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And when we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, I want that to be the overwhelming theme as we go through this. You know, there's some things that are not possible with men, but there are certain things that are possible with God. There's certain things that are not possible with men that are possible with God. And when it comes to living this victorious Christian life, this is the whole point, is there's some things that are impossible with men, and some things that are possible with God. Let's look here in Luke chapter 18. We're going to start in verse 17. The Bible says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." Verse number 18, it's a story about the rich young ruler has been called. We see that in the book of Matthew. We see that in the book of Mark, and here in the book of Luke, similar stories. And we're not going to read all three because it's not the whole point of the message, but I want to show you and teach you something here and get to that verse and that thought. It says, "A certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And you see here the response that if it was someone asked us that question, we would respond a little bit differently than Jesus does. Jesus knows this man's heart. Jesus knows what this man needs. And he shows him, he teaches him that it's not something that he has done or something that he could do. It's something that has faith and believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. And it says in verse number 19, "And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good?" You notice that he called him a good master, didn't call him, you know, the Son of God. He called him a good master. And so Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." So he's drawing that back to him that he is God. Verse number 20, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." So he goes and he talks about it. And if you notice in these commandments, he's referring to the last six that refers to the relationship between man with man. Verse 21, and he responds, and he says, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." That's a pretty bold statement. You know, I've done all those things from my youth up. He's been a pretty good guy if he's actually done all those things. And if you look at the other passages of scriptures, and you see here, you know, he doesn't rebuke him for that. Now, he even says in the book of Mark, he says he looked upon him, he loved him, that Jesus loved him in this story. But there's something that this man needed, there's something he was missing here, and Jesus wants to teach him something that is an important truth so he doesn't miss out, so he understands this. And he says in verse 22, "Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing." If it was me, boy, I'd be lacking a lot of things. But I think this is, Jesus is, and we know what that one thing is many times. He's going to bring to his mind and to his heart, there is something that you're holding on to. There's something that you're trusting. And there's a place you're falling short. And he says, "Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And so we know that salvation is not done through works, but what Jesus is showing him and teaching him here, you can't earn your way to heaven, because he knew what his response was going to be. In verse 23, "And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich," very rich. Verse 24, "When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Verse 25 is Jesus is just showing you how impossible it is. And you can even see, you know, you can imagine, you know, I know he's not being humorous here, but he is making an illustration here. He is showing something. He's teaching them something, and the illustrations are important. It says, "For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Imagine, I think he's talking about a full-grown camel there. I think he's talking about a small needle. That's impossible to do. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? So the answer, you know, that was the question. Who then can be saved? It's impossible then. Who can? And this is the answer. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. See, there's the first stage that's here. It's understanding salvation. It's understanding it is impossible for me to save myself. I need God's help. And the second thing we're looking at tonight is what we're going to look at is it's impossible for me to live the victorious Christian life by myself also. It's impossible for me to live the victorious Christian life by myself also. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, ask for God's help tonight, and ask God to just speak to our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thankful for tonight. Thankful for the opportunity to open your word. Lord, I pray that the things you've taught me and the things that you showed me are expressed tonight. Lord, I pray that you just help us. And Lord, as we close up the book of Joshua like we did last week, that we understand that this victorious Christian life that we all desire and that we all want to have is something that has to be done through you. And Lord, it's an utter dependence upon you. It's crying out to you. It's seeking you. It's asking you for help. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of the topics we talked about in the book of Joshua, we talked about Joshua's commission, how God says, be strong, be courageous. We talked about how God blessed Rahab's faith, and we talked about crossing over our Jordans. We talked about what means these stones and preparing for the Canaan land and conquering Jericho's. You know, we talked about how you can live a victorious Christian life, but if I went around the room and I asked you, okay, have you become stronger as a Christian? Have you began living a more victorious Christian life than you did before we started this back in, I think it was back in October, maybe September or August, whenever we did start the book of Joshua, probably most people would say no. Probably most people say, you know what, I've tried really hard and I've worked really hard at it and I did the best I could at it. But you know what, I always still seem to fail. We talked about the disaster at Ai. We talked about how Israel got back up. We talked about how they were deceived with the Gibeonites and all those different things. But there is one point that I'd like to just kind of bring home and just kind of just finish this all up with this thought. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The things which are impossible with men are impossible with God. I know the Christian life, it's sometimes a hard lesson to learn. I know, and in my own Christian life, I've seen this happen and even still happens to this day at times when I try my hardest and I work my best and I go to my utmost to try to live a holy, victorious Christian life, but it seems like I fail. And then it seems like I fail some more. And I come into this point that I gotta try a little bit harder. And you know what? Maybe if I try even a little bit harder, but then I have to come to this point and learn this lesson. It's impossible for me to do on my own. I need God's help. It's a lesson that many times we refuse to learn and refuse to understand until God brings us to the end of our rope. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. You think about Peter. He spent 3 years in Christ's university or Christ's school, you would say. And he never learned that it was impossible with men. Even on that night when Christ was being taken. You know, what does he do? He pulls out a sword. He tries to do his part. He tries to do everything he can. But it wasn't until he denied Christ and he went out weeping bitterly that maybe he finally learned it. As a young Christian, this young convert really probably has no conception of this. After being converted, a young Christian many times have the joy of the Lord in his heart. And he begins to run the race. He begins to want to fight this race. He begins to want to fight this battle. And he is sure he can conquer. He's earnest. He's honest. With all expectation, God will help me. But most of us know how that works. He fails. And the sin gets better at him. And then he's disappointed. And he's like, well, maybe I just didn't work hard enough. Maybe I wasn't watchful enough. And I don't want you to get confused by this because, you know, many times we thought, well, maybe my resolution wasn't strong enough. And many times our heart was sincere enough, but we just never depended upon God and God's strength. And sometimes Christians even get to this point where they say, am I even saved? I'm falling here and I'm failing and I wish that I can live the victorious Christian life. The preacher talks about it. The Bible talks about it. Why am I failing? And we got to come to this point to understand the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. We cannot do this. We have to learn to depend upon him. Later, as that young Christian who was enthusiastic about serving God and had the love of God and the joy of God all over their hearts, has faced some bumps in the road and probably been discouraged by some people, maybe even some other Christians, and you know, they come across and they're like, well, maybe this isn't possible. Maybe some Christian even come to a point and say, well, maybe God doesn't even expect that I give my life as an absolute surrender. Maybe they say, maybe those stories of reading about that victorious Christian life just are unrealistic, and they give this impression and they become living a life of despair. They come to the point where they do not expect God to work. They come to the point where they just kind of give up. And they're like, okay, I tried. I worked hard. I made the vow. I was at church every Sunday. I looked the right way. I acted the right way. I did all the things I was supposed to do. How come I still struggled, and how come I still failed many times? Why don't you take the Bible to Romans chapter number 7 tonight? In Romans chapter 7, you're going to see the Apostle Paul's picture here. And it's this idea here that, you know what? With men, this is impossible, but with God, it is possible. And you say, Pastor, where are you going with this? Where are you trying to get this? I'm trying to get us to the point where we realize that we need to cry out utterly to God. If we want to live a victorious Christian life, we cannot depend on ourselves, and we cannot depend on our own strengths. We cannot do what they did at AI. They can't say, you know what? I've got this. It's just a little thing. I can handle this on my own. No, we have to get to the point where we say, God, I need you. And it is what it is. What you're going to have two different Christian lives. You're going to have one as it gets saved and they get excited, but they've been hit so many bumps in the road, they become discouraged and they fall and they fail and they fall and they fail. And they just say, well, that's what the Christian life must be. And that's where many Christians live today. Like we talked about, that 10% of the promised land, 10% of Canaan. You know, God had promised them these hundreds of thousands of miles, and they only ever conquered 10%. And many people just live in that disappointment, lackadaisical Christian life, because they've tried and they've tried and they've tried in their own strength and never got the lesson. They got it when it came to salvation. I cannot save myself. I must depend upon God to be saved. If you're truly saved tonight, that had to happen. You had to get to the spot and say, you know what? It's not of me. It's not of my strengths. It's not of my works. All those things cannot earn salvation. Just like the rich young ruler. He says, this is what you got. None of that stuff can earn salvation. That's a lesson we had to learn to be saved. But there's a lesson that many times Christians do not learn, and we grow and we fall short because we think we can do it on our own over here. We think that we can do part of the work, and we depend on God's power to do some of the work. But see, even though it might seem impossible with man, because it is impossible with man, you know what? These things are possible with God. The victorious Christian life is possible with God. Go ahead and let's look in Romans chapter number 7. In Romans chapter 7, you see Paul speaking here, and it's, you can tell in this story, it just, you know, it's the fighting of the flesh versus the spirit here. Look what it says first in Romans chapter 7. Look at verse number 22. Verse 22, it says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You know, somebody that delights in the law of God, are they going to fail? And the answer is yes. It's we have to depend upon God's strength. See, we have a choice here. When we face it that it's impossible for me to live the Christian life, we have a choice. Go ahead and just say, God must not expect it. God must not want it. God, and then just live that unsuccessful, unvictorious Christian life, or we come to the point and say, you know what? I know God wants me to have it. I know God has not asked me to do something that he would not allow me to do. I know that I can have it. So what is stopping me from getting there? What is the point that I need to reach to? Where do I need to get to be producing the fruits of the Spirit? Where do I need to get to be able to be producing those victorious Christian lives? Because you know what? I've tried everything I can. I've worked hard as I could. I paid as many vows as I could, and I get to as many services as I could. I've done all these different things, but it just doesn't seem like I'm living that victorious Christian life. Because those things are impossible with man. But with God, those things are possible. Let's just read through these verses. We don't have the time to go through all of them, but you can get the resolve that's here. But you can also see, Paul says, look, this is a battle. This is a struggle. We'll go ahead and start in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Now, I mean, I read those things, and that tells me when I'm trying to do things on my own, when I'm trying to do things in my own life, you know, those things, when I'm trying to accomplish it in my own flesh, in my own strength, that's exactly what happens to me. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. We're not going to be able to conquer the flesh without God's help. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now look at verse 21. I find in a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. You know, there is going to be always a battle and a fight. And with man, it is impossible to win this battle and a fight. But God has promised us that we can have victory. You go to chapter number 6. It says we're not a servant of sin. It says that we are freed from sin. It says that we do not have to sin. But you come to this passage of scripture and you're like, it says that this is a struggle. This is a battle. That's where we got to come. This is not about us. This is about how much we can give to God and how much we can surrender to God and how much we can say, okay, God, this is not my life. This is yours. So I'm going to give it all over to you. It's all you because I can't do this. But many of us just don't learn that lesson that it's impossible for me to live that Christian life without God's help. It's impossible to do. You keep on going and you see that he says, verse 22, is for I delight in the law of God. This is a person who delights in the Bible. I mean, that's farther than most of us. They delight in the Bible. They delight in the law. After the inward man and the sincerity and the spiritual side, they're delighting in the word of God. But I see another law in my members. And he says, I see it. It's coming. Warring against the law of my mind, also bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now listen to the cry here. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of man. You know, this is not a guy who is giving up. This is not someone who's saying, you know what? I guess I just can't do it. I guess that's just meant for the missionary. I guess that's meant just for the pastor. I guess that victorious Christian life must have been meant for somebody else because I tried so hard. But we haven't learned the lesson. That things that are impossible with man, they are possible with God. We can do this with God. We can live a victorious Christian life. And we see Paul here. Go ahead and take your Bibles now to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2 is a wonderful book of the chapter in the Bible. Mr. Greger was talking about on the senior luncheon. He's like, your favorite chapter of the Bible is usually the one that you're going to be speaking on in that week. It changes all the time. But Philippians chapter 2 is one of the favorite chapters of the Bible for me. Just amazing. And I think we're actually going to be preaching on the beginning of March about declaring his glory inside the church house about those first couple of verses. But we're going to look here and look what it says in verse number 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do his good, and do of his good pleasure. So it is God that gives us the will, but it's also God that gives us the do. It's God that does the work. He's going to give us a willing spirit to do this, but you know what? He's also going to provide the way. So the first point is the things that man can't do. The second point is all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. When we see that many times Christians live a helpless and a despairing and a wretched Christian life, and they live without joy and they live without strength, they live without victory, and I'm not trying to be mean because that's what many Christians today are, and that's what we struggle with. We're like, how do I get past this? How do I make this happen? How in the world can I that not be my description? I don't want to live that way. We get to like the Romans chapter 7, and Paul's like, I see it in me. I see it warring in me. But then we see, you know what? There are things that are impossible with men, but they are possible with God. And when I see this verse, it reminds me of the fact that it's God that gives us that will to do this, but he also gives us the ability to do it too. See, I think our daily lives should be lives that show God is a God of impossibilities. I think our lives should be ones that see victory after victory after victory after victory. And I'm not saying you're going to see somebody saved every day or you're going to see somebody saved every minute, but you can see victory in your Christian life. You know, when temptation comes and, you know, you get tempted to maybe watch something or look at something or say something you shouldn't, and God gives you victory over that, that's a victory. That's something you should praise him about. You should say, you know what? God helped me there, and God gave me the strength to handle that. I can build on that, and I can learn that. When someone sees you and someone's rude to you and you turn around and treat them with the love of Christ, that's a victory. When someone does something to abuse you or does something else and they see Christ in you, those are victories that, you know what, that does not come from the flesh. That comes from the Spirit of God that lives inside you. God working in your life and victory over sins and loving instead of anger, joy instead of frustration in the desperate time. See, I think we get to the point that we just feel like we need a little bit of God's power to make it over the hump. But that's not it. We don't need a little bit of God's power to get us over the hump. If we're really, truly, our things are impossible with God and we can't live in the victorious Christian life, we must learn to ask God, God, I want only what you can do. I this is what I want. I want the victorious Christian life. I want you to do this in my life. How do we get there? I think we learned this point. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And we learn to say, I serve an omnipotent God. We learn to say, I serve an omnipotent God. It's his pleasure that he gave me this will and also the ability to do. And I need to reckon myself dead and I need to live in his omnipotence and in his power. He has told me I can be freed from that sin. He has told me I can live a victorious Christian life. He has given me the opportunity and the ability and the power to live the way he's called me to do. Now, will the flesh be warring against you? It will never stop. It will always be there. Even when I'm at the highest point, my spiritual life, which I'm sure is not very high, you know what? The devil is still there fighting you tooth and nail. The next message in Luke is the devil tempts the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, if he tempts Jesus, he knows he's going to tempt us. And you know, he went and he did it the exact way. He knew where he was weak at and he tried to hit him. You know what? We can have that power living inside of us that we can also say no to the sin. We can also have the victory. We have the Holy Spirit of God living within us. And he tells us in Romans chapter 6, we can have a victorious Christian life. But where do we get it from? We get it from the power of God. We don't get it from ourselves. We've tried. I don't know. Maybe you haven't. I know I have. I know how many times I've hit the altar and say, God, I want victory over this. God, please give me victory. And you know what? I need to live in the omnipotence of God's power. I serve a God that is able to do all things. And I serve the God that is able to do all things. You think about the birth of Christ. You know, Mary asked, how could it be? And you know, the answer is, with God, nothing shall be impossible. You think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Where did it come from? It came from the power of God. You think about it. When a tree is planted, it originally springs up from a seed, and it's from that root that tree will stand and grow strong, even sometimes for hundreds of years. You say, what are you getting at? Well, how did you become a Christian? It was by the power of God. It was not by you. It was by the power of God. And we need to continue to live from that root, the power of God and what God does, and let us grow and become strong in our Christian lives. Instead of just over and over, I can't be a Christian. I guess I can't have victory. I guess I can't. You've got half the lesson right. You can't, but God can enable you to. You can't. You're right. God, and I tell you, there. Sometimes I feel sorry for myself. Maybe you guys don't. Sometimes things are harder and tougher, and sometimes like, God, this is just tough. This is just hard, and I'm not whining or complaining. I'm just being honest. I'm talking to the Lord. Lord, how in the world? And he reminds me of this. You know what? That is really impossible with you. There's no way you can fix that. But he says, I can. We got to have in the mindset, I'm the one, and God's the one in control. God's the one that can have those things. And you see these things. You know, even talk about Paul when I think it was in the book of Corinthians, when he talked about how he was with them in weakness and how he was with them in fear and how he was with them in trembling. And even in 2 Corinthians, they're mocking him for his presentation a little bit. They're questioning for his presentation. But they go back and say, you know what? But in my preaching, there was a demonstration of spirit and there was a demonstration of power. There was God all over that. And that's what the godly life is supposed to be. It may look to the world weak. It may look to the world anemic. And it may look to the, but the peace that comes from God and the power that comes from God and the fruits of the Spirit that can come out of an individual, yes, from the world's side, it may look weak. But from God's side, we can see that there is victory. Look at Abraham. You can imagine Abraham being called from that terror. And remember when we went through Genesis, this was where the land of Ur was. So that's why, you know, he was called out of there. Can you imagine what his family probably said? Imagine he went into this land and, you know, had all these other Canaanites, these thousands of Canaanites. He probably looked foolish, but he followed God and God made him strong. He had to wait for a child for how many years? But God answered that. And to the, you know what? I think Hagar and I think Lot, as they were leaving with their kids and they were mocking him a little bit about how they're okay. You know, you go serve your God. You don't even have that son that you were promised, all those different things. It may have looked weak, but he had a God that knew he could do all things. And he believed in God. And it was counted for righteousness sake. And he believed God to be so strong that he was even willing to sacrifice his own son because he believed his son, God could raise him up on the altar. How do we get to that spot? It's when we believe in the omnipotence of God. With human things, we cannot do this. But with God's power, we can be victorious. Humanly, we get stuck in AI and we die. Humanly, we get stuck by the Gibeonites and we get tricked by the devil and we end up getting attached with something that never leaves us. And in the end, it causes problems. But with God, he can help us with our Jerichos. He can help us cross our Jordan rivers. You know, it was God who told Abraham, walk before me. And we could spend time talking about Moses. We can spend time talking about Joshua. We can spend time talking about David. Any of those guys perfect? No. They, in the flesh, we saw how they were weak and they could not be victorious. But then we also saw what God could do with someone that was believing in him. I think the cause of weakness of the Christian life is many times we want to work out part of what God's doing and then ask God to do the rest. Okay, God, this is my plan. God, I'm going to do this, this, and this. All I need you to do is bless me over here with this part. It's when we say, God, I can't do any of this. I need you to lead me and guide me here. I need you to lead me and guide me here. I know it doesn't seem like something I want to do. I know it goes against my flesh. It might even go against my teaching. It might even go against the things I've learned. And, you know, I can't do this, God. I need to run over here to your omnipotent power. I need to get into your word. I need to learn what it means that with men, things are impossible, but with God, it is possible. With man, I cannot live this Christian life, but we don't realize that. We don't like that verse when it says, without me, you can do nothing. We like to think, oh, without God, I can still do this. And without God, I can still teach a class. It's just a few kids. Without God, I can still do this and this and this. But God, I need you for the big stuff. And that's many times where we're struggling as Christians. But you see this verse, it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will. It's God that gives us the will, but also and to do. I think he's saying here that God works in a man. He works through man. And this is really about complete surrender to God. It's an omnipotent God that's willing to work in the life of his child. Someone who is willing to take the lesson that Jesus was teaching and says, the things that are impossible with man, they are possible with God. And I just don't want to continue to live this life defeated. I don't want to continue to live this life lackadaisical. I want to live a victorious Christian life. And I know we become weary. I know we become longing for the power of God. We long for the power of revival. I mean, you think about it. We seek it. We want to pray for it. But we must ask for it in our own hearts first. God, it's impossible. I've tried everything I can. I passed out really cool brochures. We've tried this and we tried that and we tried this and we tried. But with God, it's possible. So why aren't we begging and pleading God with God? God, I know you say I can have this. You know, I know you say I can have victory. I know you say I can be free. I know you say, and I'm not saying we're ever going to get to the spot where we don't deal with the flesh. That's just not going to happen. That's the man's side. But on the spiritual side, God gives us the ability to take care of the things that are impossible with man. Because the things that are impossible with men, they are possible with God. And all around us, there is a world full of sin and sorrow. The devil's there. But don't we believe Christ is on the throne? Don't we believe that Christ is stronger? Don't we believe Christ has conquered? Don't we believe Christ will conquer? And as we wait on God, we come to this spot and we learn this lesson. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. We learned it when it came to salvation. That was the first lesson. It took some of us a little while. It took some of us to realize, to understand, until the light bulb came on, or when the Holy Spirit led us and guided us. You know what? This is not my work. I can't do this salvation thing. And when we came to our knees and said, God, I need you. I see all my sin. I see the punishment for my sin. I'm crying out to you and asking you, Lord, I know I can't do this. Save me. That was the first thing. And we had to get to that point. But to live the victorious Christian life, we got to say the same thing. I cannot do it. But God can. And isn't that where we need to be? That's where I need to be. Because I like to think, I can take care of this, and I can take care of that. I can handle that. So what they did with AI, it's just a little city. It's only got 3,000 people on it. 2,000 to 3,000. We'll be okay. There are some things which are impossible with men, but they are possible with God. Then I don't know if this... When I was studying it, when I was reading it, I don't know, it was maybe more for me than it was for you guys. I don't know. Maybe it went over some of your heads, or maybe it just was, I don't know. But I know that in my heart, in my life, that I've come to a point where I had to learn that lesson, and I have to learn it over and over. I want to be victorious. I don't think God saved us to fail. I don't think God saved us to fall. I don't think God saved us for us to respond by resting on our flesh and what our mind says and what we think. I think he wants us to respond in the Spirit. And yeah, sometimes the Spirit is strong, but sometimes the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I think there, he said, well, what's the answer? It's being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Where do you get it? God, I can't do this, but you can. God, I need to say, Lord, I need every part of my life to be surrendered to you. I need to believe with the power of God that he can get up and he can lead me, and I get out of my bed and I go to do this and I go to do that, and I go that he can lead and he can guide me, because I can't do it. I've tried. I think we've all tried. We've all said, okay, I can be a good husband, and I can be a good wife, or I can be a good son, I can be a good daughter, I can be a good church member, I can be... With man, it is impossible. You might be able to convince everybody else in the world, but for the power of God, it's only with God. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And I want to encourage you tonight. When's the last time you asked him to make you victorious? When's the last time you said, God, I know you are all powerful. I believe you're all powerful. I believe that you can save my soul from hell. And I believe you can give me victory over this sin. And say, God, I'm trusting in your power. My power can't get it done. I can't do any of it. But God, you can. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for our time invitation. Possible with God.